Hi, my name's Gary King, and I've assembled the most formidable JFK team on planet Earth. We've got Dr. James Fetzer, Larry Rivera, who is the number one researcher in the world today when it comes to new research, and we've got Don Fox, who's not afraid to look a little bit deeper than anyone else. So if you're interested in what happened to the 35th President of the United States, then I invite you to our show. It's called The New JFK Show. And it's on YouTube. Go to Gary King YouTube channel, and we've got over 90 shows archived for you there. So if you really want to know the truth, and knowing that over 9 out of 10 researchers are working the other side of the street in a sea of disinformation, I pledge to you the truth about JFK. Go to Gary King YouTube channel and find out your true history.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
You're ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, where I'm very pleased to have as my guests a double feature, Scott Bennett and Michael Jay. We're going to be talking about new developments in relation to the campaign and other issues of great political significance, none of which is greater than a new report we find in the very first slide. Saudi Arabia very upset about the passage by the Senate of a new law that allows American citizens to sue Saudi Arabia for its complicity in the events of 9/11, has declared that it was the United States that planned the attack on the World Trade Center in order to justify a global war on terror. This is a really stunning development, very much to be wished. Scott, don't you share my enthusiasm that this is coming out because it promises to break the whole facade of lies about 9/11.
It does indeed, and it reminds me of the quote I gave when I was at the Press TV interview, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay," and the blood of so many Americans cries out to, from the ground from this false flag attack that the neocons engineered in 2001. The other quote is, "The cover-up is worse than the crime." So they've desperately tried to cover this up. They desperately hope that they could move on to a global hegemonic war and the past would never catch up to them. But Americans and others have slowly and dogmatically, much through the lead of your bloodhound instincts, Jim, they've continued to follow this and unearth it. And Susan Lindauer, Barbara Honegger, and yourself, and Al Zabrowski, and so many other people have contributing to digging up this smelly, dirty corpse. And we see that we were the ones who engineered this Frankenstein. And now the Saudis are simply obeying their natural instincts. They're coming apart at the seams. They're screaming like stuck pigs. They're crying and weeping like women. They're threatening to dump all of our assets and divorce us. Well, that's just the sign of someone who knows that they're cornered, and soon that cornering is going to be shredding them.
Michael Jay, are you fascinated by this development?
Well, I am in a number of ways. One, I find it interesting that this article was quoted, the Saudi press quoted in Tel Aviv, and the fact that the Israelis are implicated with the dual citizenship of so many people that were in their neocon bunkers, planning the whole thing to extend the plan of a greater Israel and get rid of all their enemies through this war on terror. It's like the Tel Aviv is putting it out there as if they're innocent. They're not innocent. They're implicated. And there's the Dov Zakheim connection, and then there's all the connections with the different people that turned the war on terror into a turning the America into an American police state with people like Michael Chertoff and whatever, promoting all of the police state mechanisms for their destruction of liberty in America. So this is a multi-factioned problem that they have, that they're, it seems now, going to be pointing fingers at one another. But the American people are have a choice right now to really begin to wake up and understand who the real enemy of America and freedom in the world is.
I agree completely. The next slide shows, of course, that for over a month now, this issue has been percolating, where Bernie Sanders has been requesting the declassification of the infamous 28 pages from the 9/11 report, which, of course, had to do with Saudi Arabian financing for some of the hijackers. But we know, of course, that was only the tip of the iceberg. A half a dozen or more of these guys turned up alive and well the following day. They clearly weren't in command of commercial carriers that they caused to crash, thereby killing themselves, because they were doing perfectly fine, which raises issues that some of us have explored rather extensively about whether any of those aircraft died on 9/11, to which the answer appears to be no. But it's fascinating now that this is all coming to the fore. Scott.
Well, the 28 pages, of course, if you overlay that with what Birkenfeld and the Swiss banks and Union Bank of Switzerland and that whole shell game overlay, if you combine the two, suddenly those two overlays form a three-dimensional image, and you see the connections to Union Bank of Switzerland, Abdullah Aziz, Rudy Giuliani, the Saudi royal kingdom, the Saudi money channels that were really pawns from the CIA and the Mossad. So suddenly the Mossad, the CIA, the Saudi Arabians come into focus, the neoconservative ideologues and the dual Israeli citizens of the neoconservative ranks in 2001 trying to advance the Greater Israel Project into this, as you said, Jim, before, what is it, 7 countries in 5 years plan. You see all of that suddenly. And the 28 pages is also, there's a third overlay, and that's Hillary Clinton's missing emails. We'll mention Abdullah Aziz, Saudi Arabia, Union Bank of Switzerland, Brad Birkenfeld, Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, and that whole scandal where they threw the Brad Birkenfeld whistleblower into prison to cover up all of this Swiss bank terrorist financing, and then suddenly got all the money from the Saudi Arabians to the Clinton Foundation. And all of that is just percolating next.
It's all stunning. Michael J.
You know, I'm thinking that this is going to impact Donald Trump's candidacy. He needs to take this and run with it. Donald Trump needs to be separating himself from all of the confusion. He needs to let go of the dialogue, the narrative that's been fed to the American people. He needs to stand aside from this and say, let's really examine what's going on here, because we cannot allow any people in the Congress or the Senate or the military that's been complicit in this to remain in office or in positions of authority.
Yeah, I think those are very well taken points, Michael J. He's got some really smart advisors. I expect he'll be following that advice. The third slide, of course, shows how Barack Obama has gone to Saudi Arabia and taken the side of the Saudi Arabians in seeking to defeat the passage in the Senate of this law, which is truly stunning. In fact, as the next slide shows, the families of the survivors have been livid over this. Scott.
Well, you see the fingerprints of the Saudi Arabian U.S. The flight connection, the survivors, as we recall, the women who've lost their husbands were the ones who prompted the 9/11 report. And of course, they tried to cover it up into a report about nothing and ignored some of the key facts that would have proven the impossibility of Building 7 falling into its own footprint and some of the other forensic, acts of suspicion that occurred in the fall of the Twin Towers, never mind the Pentagon attack and Barbara Honegger's excellent report behind the smoke curtain, which he analyzed the entire Pentagon attack, the liquefaction of the planes hitting the Pentagon and the Twin Towers. All of that stuff can be brought out fresh through this instrument that you reported earlier, Jim, on the ability to sue Saudi Arabia for these 9/11 attacks. The other instrument, of course, is H.R. 693, which is the new House resolution put forth by Congressman Yoho and Congressman Weber that looks at illegal overreach activities by the Obama administration. So if you use both of those instruments, suddenly you got Obama in a corner.
Michael J., do you believe that Obama, with his background of having been born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia, he appears to have been a Muslim when he came to the United States on scholarships that were only available to foreign students, which explains why his first act of president was to seal all those records from all the young Americans who wanted to study the history of our first black president? Do you think that's involved here?
I think it's more surreal than that. I think that a man who pretends to be Barack Hussein Obama but has 22 Social Security numbers and was put in place by both the Democrats and the Republicans to accomplish a plan that's plainly treasonous to America, a man who has been destroying the fabric of our society and who's now promoting the confusion about what who gets to use what bathroom according to what sex they think they are today, and who also declared America a Muslim caliphate. I think this man is essentially the enemy of America, the enemy of liberty, and I don't see anything that's ever proven to me that this man has ever told the truth while he's been in office.
If he has those 22 Social Security numbers, is he going to be getting 22 Social Security payments in his retirement, Michael?
Well, you know, I'm thinking that there's a reason why last month he went down to Argentina to look, I think, probably for a place to retire where they may not have any extradition treaty with America.
In Patagonia, perhaps?
Yes.
Very lovely, beautiful part of the world. Let's look at the next slide, number five. Scott, tell us about this, an appearance on the debate.
Well, that was on Press TV, one of the few media channels that has the courage and the intelligence to be analyzing some of these issues. And they've been fearless in looking at 9/11, fearless in looking at the false forensic material and the cover-up and really the evidence that the whole thing was fabricated. So we did a debate, and it was analyzing some of the Saudi Arabian threats and why they were threatening. And I just went on and said, look, I was in the military. I was in the intelligence circles. I was in the Bush administration. I also happened to believe that the whole story was real. I drank the Kool-Aid. And it wasn't till after, much later, when I was surrounded by academics and men of integrity and really discovered this material in prison because I had been thrown in on a paperwork error because I was exposing terrorist financing. And Dov Zakheim, my boss, and his connections to the Pentagon and the comptroller missing money and a whole cascade of things. It wasn't until then that I discovered this. And when I did, my eyes were opened and I've never looked back since. And I've been dogmatically attacking the people of lies. And this debate was one of those examples where the guy was from Washington. He was a
It looks as though somebody out there doesn't want you to hear what we have to say, but this single image is extraordinarily revealing because there's no possible way this could have been the effect of a collapse brought about by an airplane hitting a building where the melting point of steel is over 1,000 degrees greater than the highest temperature that could be acquired. This was a very sophisticated form of deception. Using the fallacy before this, therefore because of this, so that we had a plane strike or an apparent plane strike before the destruction, and therefore it was supposed to be attributable to the plane strike when it was completely separate and appears to have been brought about by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, which incidentally has been confirmed by the U.S. Geological Survey, 35 different locations of dust samples, revealing elements that would not have been present had this not been a nuclear event, including barium and strontium, thorium and uranium, lithium, lanthanum, yttrium, chromium, tritium, And where it turns out that a vast number of first responders and other residents in the immediate area have acquired highly unusual forms of cancer associated with exposure to ionizing radiation, including non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, thyroid, pancreatic, brain, prostate, esophageal, blood and plasma cancers, which may involve as many as 70,000 victims of 9/11. Scott.
Well, you've seen the photographs and the video of molten metal pouring out of the building, or some sort of red-orange metal. That doesn't happen from a plane crashing into a building. You've seen the dustification of the building instead of being pancaked, as Michael Jay's pointed out. That doesn't happen from a plane. You have trucks coming in with dirt covering up the landscape to cover up what you've just identified. And then you've got Michael Chertoff sneaking out all the metal, which Press TV had raised. They said, why did they sneak out all this metal? What were they trying to hide and cover up? Well, Michael Chertoff was covering up all of the radioactive metal and the impossibility of all of this steel being turned into ribbon by a plane crash, by kerosene fuel, essentially, that could never have melted this. So the whole thing stinks of a false flag. It stinks of a conspiracy and treason against the United States that's never occurred in history, period.
Michael Jay.
Thanks, Jim. This was an attack against America by people that had an agenda that had nothing to do with the truth, nothing to do with American national interest. This was something that allowed them to bring in the NIST, but also the emergency management, whatever, and all their FEMA, plans for FEMA and TSA and all of this, and we have been transformed. And Michael Chertoff was making money on selling and forcing our nation to accept at the airports these screens that set people up either for molestation by people touching their wives and their children through the TSA, or being irradiated involuntarily going through these screens that would actually see through people's clothing. This was an attack, a psychological assault. This was actually changing the mindset of Americans and turning us into a culture of victims, all in the name of going after the terrorists, and the terrorists were our own people.
Nice points, Michael Jay. And of course, the scanners were never even tested for safety before they were installed, and Chertoff made a vast sum of money. Here's a photograph of some of the trucks Rudy Giuliani was miraculously able to arrange. Normally, it would take a citizen a month to arrange for a single dump truck. Rudy had 115 overnight, and they were not just bringing in tons of dirt, which is what the Soviets did at Chernobyl to absorb the radiation, but actually a special M291 resin, which is a military-grade decontamination material, so that, in fact, the debris site actually grew over the first several days while they were dumping tons upon tons of this stuff on top of the metal and other remnants. Scott.
Well, we also see the building number 7 falling into its own footprint. Building number 7, the command center from which they orchestrated some of these attacks. We see the 5 dancing Israelis that are photographed and then questioned, and they say, we're here to film the event. Your enemies are our enemies. What does that mean? So you have Michael Chertoff then suddenly sending these 5 dancing Israelis back to Israel without any investigation, any criminal charges. You see the delivery of this soil. You see the sending of this metal out to China. You see the Building 7 collapsing. You see Rudy Giuliani and all of these people being implicated. You're seeing the owner of the Twin Towers,
Larry Silverstein.
Silverstein doubly insuring them, and him saying himself, pull it. And then you see the video footage of the firemen saying they can hear the bangs, they can hear the pops, they can hear the detonations, and all of that should be into a criminal court for...
Scott, since all that is in the public domain, how can CBS, NBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post have missed it?
Well, they didn't miss it. Let's remember that the British actually had Building 7 go down before it was supposed to, and they said it just fell, but in the background, it was still up.
Jane Stanley, yes. But right. It's clear that the media were massively complicit in the cover-up. It's simply shocking and embarrassing. Here we have a case of the right combination of a guy with information, Steve Pachinik, on with Alex Jones on InfoWars, where Alex has a huge platform. Pachinik has vast information confirming Israel's role in the 9/11 attacks, which Alex has steadfastly avoided discussing. Scott.
Well, Steve Pachinik certainly is an authority that looks at the science, looks at the history, looks at the material evidence, doesn't look at the politics or the emotions or the nationality of the country, but looks at it from a truth seeker, truth teller point of view. Alex Jones should certainly step up and talk about some of this. We understand no one's perfect. We understand everyone has their own angles of attack, but this is a stage critical that if we don't go on the full attack and really kill this beast by exposing it, the next one is going to be even larger, even worse, and more devastating in the United States. And we can already see that writing on the wall. We're already seeing them plant the seeds of such an attack, whether it's going to be in Chicago or Europe. They are definitely going to try and overthrow the status quo of peace and harmony and erect the police state.
Michael J.
You know, there's so much going on, but Judy Wood pointed out that this was in effect kind of a psychological operation against Americans that produced the by trauma. It produced the mindset that people wanted answers. Okay, it put them in cognitive dissonance. They felt like victims. There was this huge, heartfelt grieving for all the victims, and then we were manipulated psychologically into a war so that people like Susan Lindauer, who were standing in the gap letting everybody know that Iraq had nothing to do with this, she was put out of the way, she was put into prison without charges, she was threatened. Why? Because she knew the truth. Saddam was saying, we'll invest billions in your country, just don't attack us. And they didn't care because the agenda was to get rid of people who didn't have a Rothschild bank, including Saddam Hussein, including Gaddafi. And now they're attacking another place that doesn't have a Rothschild bank, Syria, and they want to get rid of Iran also. You know, yeah. We are a nation of victims, and only people that are willing to say, I will not go along with what the popular illusion is, only those people can make a difference, because people are choosing to be victims when they continue to support this myth that those planes hit those buildings and brought them down.
For those who may be unaware, Susan Lindauer was the liaison between the CIA and Saddam Hussein, and reported that Saddam was so eager to avoid war with the United States that he offered to buy 1 million cars a year for the next 10 years. And when Susan was about to leave, he added, and if that's not enough, make it 20. Just imagine with a different situation we'd be in with the economic bonanza that would have generated out of Detroit, where the production of automobiles and their sale, it has many multiplier effects across different fields like upholstery, tires, stereos, and the like, unlike military spending, which is practically none. Let's turn now to the Panama Papers, about which Scott has done so much research. Scott, my friend.
Well, the Panama Papers were interesting, and the start of it occurred in 2014 when I outreached to Frederick Obermeyer, and he was one of the German journalists that reported a lot of this material. And at the time, in 2014, I had approached him and said, my whole report on Shell Game, Brad Birkenfeld, Swiss Banks, Abdullah Aziz, Igor Lenikov, all of that material was given to Obermeyer in 2014. And then 2 years later, he inserts it and calls it the Panama Papers. Now, that caused me pause to say, are you just taking our story and putting a different dust jacket on it? What are you neglecting? And what he neglects is the law firm Covington & Burling and its connection to Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, who worked there before they joined the Obama administration, and then subsequently went back and worked there now. And this law firm represents the Swiss banks HSBC and Union Bank of Switzerland in its various terrorist financing capacities. Now, Brad Birkenfeld also revealed this at the same conference, the Offshore Alert Conference, in 2015. And they've, in 2016, they've now invented this Panama Papers to try and explain it away. But all of that just needs to be overlaid as part of a larger forensic analysis of who did you talk to, when did you talk to them, and what was communicated to you. Because then you see all this Panama Papers stuff, specifically Igor Alenikov, the Russian tycoon, and Abdullah Aziz, the Saudi Arabian royal family who was financing a lot of these terrorist activities. Suddenly you see them in the Panama Papers.
Michael J.
I'd like to point out that the fact that Scott was placed in a strategic position was a totally sovereign act. He has admitted he drank the Republican Kool-Aid. Okay, he was actually part of the Bush administration. He was actually being moved into a place where he would fight terrorism down in Central Command. He was actually going after them. He was producing psychological operations, and he was trained to do this. And then he wound up being thrown out, thrown under the bus, gotten rid of because he was getting too close. But the reason I'm pointing this out is that when Scott was added to my life and to other people's lives around the nation by his testimonies, by his telling the truth, by the amazing odyssey that put him across the table in the same prison complex with Brad Birkenfeld, what he had been looking for down there in Central Command was handed to him in prison by another man who knew too much, was thrown in prison. But what did this do? This gives ordinary people the ability to see a double witness, and the fact that the truth fits so well to another agenda, a treasonous agenda that is the only kind of agenda that explains the schizophrenic, you know, psychological operation of psychopaths that pretend to be the American government. That here's what I'm saying. The main point here is that people, ordinary people, must see themselves as part of the answer and not as victims anymore, because people like Scott and like you, Jim, are giving them all the ammunition they need to develop their own team, their own 2- and 3-man fire team, and make a difference.
Scott, why don't you elaborate on the power players?
Well, Abdullah Aziz was one of the bank account that Brad Birkenfeld took out and gave to the Justice Department and exposed as one of the central terrorist financiers. And, of course, they threw Brad in prison for bringing this out. And they told him, we're not interested in non-Americans. And Brad had been baffled by this because he's coming out to serve his country. And next thing you know, he's thrown in prison for bringing this out. And it's a total scam setup, but he gave this to me. And I said, my God, this is exactly who I was looking for. This is exactly the documents that I need to give to the military terrorist finance apparatus. And we did. We gave it to U.S. Central Command, General James Mattis, General Martin Dempsey, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of the Army, General Ray Odierno, Commander of U.S. Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command, General Jeff Jacobs, as well as Dianne Feinstein of the Intelligence Committee, Howard Buck McKeon of the Armed Services Committee. That slide right there is of the very bank account that Abdullah Aziz was using to funnel money to terrorists in Al-Qaeda, in Saudi Arabia, in Syria, in everywhere that U.S. operations were being conducted. And Brad gave me a copy of that bank account and said, get this out to the military. Get it out and do something. I've been forbidden from sharing this. And it chokes me up because I took this and I did my duty as an officer. I did it to my fellow soldiers and I did it for my American compatriots. And these bastards in Congress hid it, covered it up, did nothing. And the military bureaucrats who've been castrated of any sort of testicular fortitude, stuck their heads in the ground in the hopes of keeping their bureaucratic pensions. So every American should be sickened and outraged and should really facilitate a revolution in this country similar to the French Revolution and guillotine these people who are responsible for the deaths of their sons and daughters.
Michael J., it is a sad commentary on the State of the Union.
You know, all three of us on this show took an oath to defend the Constitution. We have seen people die on the basis of that oath. We have understood that this is the same oath the people in Congress and the Senate and the judiciary and the executive have taken. And we have witnessed treason. We have witnessed our own Americans being slaughtered, being allowed to go into places where our own government is complicit with financing warfare against the American soldier and sailor. And we are watching America being brokenhearted. But we are saying we never rescinded our oath. And every American, every veteran out there understands that that oath allowed us to say, yes, I'm willing to lay my life down for my country. But we're watching treasonous monsters who pretend to be the American government betraying America and committing treason. And these are the people who are at war with our nation.
Scott, I take it this is some of WikiLeaks' background information related
This was interesting. 1973, November 28th, this was Igor Alenikov, which was Brad Birkenfeld's Russian banker that he smuggled diamonds and the toothpaste for in 2006, 2007. And Igor Alenikov was mentioned in this WikiLeaks, in this cable, State Department cable, back in 1973. So instantly, my intelligence apparatus goes up that he was in some way involved with espionage as either a double agent or a single agent. And then much later, the U.S. Was trying to track him down because the CIA approached Brad Birkenfeld in Switzerland and tried to get him to become an espionage asset. They got him into a DUI. They then just went and got him out of the DUI. Brad told me the story of a CIA agent going into the jail cell, flashing his badge, and getting him out. Well, Brad jumped the gun and came over to the United States Department of Justice and tried to unload all this stuff in exchange for immunity. Edward Snowden was part of that operation when he was a CIA asset in Geneva, Switzerland, and he reported this to Glenn Greenwald. So suddenly you see Edward Snowden connected to Brad Birkenfeld, Birkenfeld connected to the CIA, and then Birkenfeld was connected to me when I met him haphazardly. And I was also connected with the CIA, of course, because of what they tried to do to me by covering a lot of this stuff up.
And elaborate on this before we unleash Michael J.
Yeah, and this slide is all of the Gulf Nation Sunni Wahhabi countries that have been using the Swiss bank to funnel to their jihadis. And, you know, it becomes personal when you see soldiers being cut up into ribbons and acid turned onto them, and you're having to watch the cell phone video footage that these savage bastards take when they're torturing women and children. And I mean, I've had a senator tell me personally, I've seen video where they're cutting these kids open and taking their organs out. So this isn't fiction. This isn't anything you could make up. This is demonic evil that is manifested by these Wahhabi Salafist kamikazes that are now beginning to invade Europe. We funded that, and we funded it, and they need to be held responsible, specifically everybody in the United States Congress and all of the flag officers who got my report.
Scott, I want to cover one or two more slides before we have to take the break, and then we'll have Michael J. do a wrap before we conclude this.
Well, this slide that you see here of Zdeutsche Zeitung, and this seems like a CIA operation because you've got these two individuals named Obermeier. They're both named Obermeier. They both look almost identical, and they have some very interesting attire. One's got a white shirt with white buttons. The other's got a white shirt with black buttons and a black coat. They've both got the same exact glasses, and their hair looks disheveled, and they've got the same open mouth expression. The one on the right with a black jacket is Frederick Obermeier, the person who I communicated with. However, they've tried to say the one on the left with a white shirt is the one who released all the information, and they've identified Mossack Fonseca as the law firm, when in actuality, Covington and Burling is the law firm that's tied to all of these terrorist financiers. So they're pulling a psyop by getting real close to the truth, but not really saying the whole truth, the absolute truth.
And here's a study letter from Senator Bill Nelson to Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, and he writes this June 20th, 2013. I had contacted Senator Nelson in September, October of 2012, in which I titled the whistleblowing report, The Union Bank of Switzerland Connection to Terrorist Financing. And I sent it to everybody. And after he got that letter, and after Snowden went public, after Snowden saw my report in the TSSEI channels and recognized me from our Booz Allen Hamilton connection, this guy, Nelson, wrote Dianne Feinstein, probably fearful that he was going to be a man without a chair when the music stopped. And he did. He built a bridge of conspiracy, because now you see Senator Feinstein connected to Senator Nelson saying Scott Bennett got information he should never have gotten. Well, I agree. God made me get that information, and I simply reported it as a loyal American. Well, here's Bill Nelson, who should be charged with treason, because he had my information and did nothing. And he still got the audacity to have pictures on his website with military men and women. Anybody who's worn the uniform should come into his office and say, you did nothing to stop this terrorist financing that I am crippled or hurt or wounded about. And here is the bank account that Bennett reported that Brad Birkenfeld gave him, which you buried, which you hope you never have to look at because it was radioactive.
And finally, Scott, here's a summary of your research on Booz Allen Hamilton, which seems to have been a key player in all of this.
Booz Allen Hamilton was key in that Dov Zakheim, the comptroller of the Pentagon, and the missing $2.3 trillion, which was what attracted the missile that blew up into the Pentagon. Dov Zakheim went over and worked at Booz Allen Hamilton's terrorist financing shop at U.S. Central Command. So he's tracking the terrorist money supplies. And his son works in the House Armed Services Committee, Roger Zakheim. And when I send my reports up to the House Armed Services Committee, Roger Zakheim meddles, interferes, and destroys those reports. And that's the charge of treason. Now, my pedigree, I worked at the Office of the Coordinator for Counterterrorism. I worked under General Del Daley. I worked at Special Operations Command. I worked at Central Command. I didn't fix trucks. I didn't serve ice cream. I didn't work in the veterinary office. I worked in terrorist financing. So I have the pedigree and the background to stand before Congress and say, you want to know about this? You talk to me. You want to know about my intelligence asset? You talk to Brad Birkenfeld. But you're all going to hang because of this.
Michael J., give us a 45-minute synopsis, 45-second synopsis of what this means before we take a break.
Thanks, Jim. Every American needs to realize that our whole nation is on the line. These people have been involved in mass murder. The war against Iraq, the war against Afghanistan, the war against Libya, the war against Syria, all of this has been a part of destroying America, turning America into a nation that's hated by other nations. We are our honor has been destroyed by these sociopaths. We really need to understand that every American will be able to make a difference if they take up their psychological, spiritual, intellectual sword and start wielding it and the truth and contacting their representatives and saying, we're holding you accountable. This has to begin to happen now.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal. We'll continue my conversation with Scott Bennett and Michael J. after this break. We'll be
Moonrock
right
Books.
Back.
We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth, It falls upon us to fight the Empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Less than 3% of you people read books, because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. Television is not the truth. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds.
Broadcasting live on Network Radio.
Hi, my name's Gary King, and I've assembled the most formidable JFK team on planet Earth. We've got Dr. James Fetzer, Larry Rivera, who is the number one researcher in the world today when it comes to new research, and we've got Don Fox, who's not afraid to look a little bit deeper than anyone else. So if you're interested in what happened to the 35th President of the United States, then I invite you to our show. It's called The New JFK Show, and it's on YouTube. Go to Gary King YouTube channel, and we've got over 90 shows archived for you there. So if you really want to know the truth, and knowing that over 9 out of 10 researchers are working the other side of the street in a sea of disinformation, I pledge to you the truth about JFK. Go to Gary King YouTube channel and find out your true history.
We can now say, with moral certainty and considerable scientific authority, that the death of JFK was committed by a meticulously executed conspiracy which was obscured by an extensive cover-up. Murder in Dealey Plaza, edited by James Fetzer, goes to the heart of the JFK assassination. You'll read new and up-to-date information regarding the Secret Service, the Lincoln limousine, the medical evidence, the cover-up, altering the film, framing the patsy, and the silent historians. Also, 16 smoking guns, each one crushing the government's lone assassin scenario. A world-class chronology of November 22nd, 1963. Chapters by David W. Mantic, Gary Aguilar, Vincent Palomara, Douglas Weldon, Jack White, Ira David Wood III, James H. Fetzer, Doug Horn, and a classic essay by Bertrand Russell. The complete story in the pages of one single book, edited by James H. Fetzer. Read it now. Read it again. You'll use it as a reference. Murder in Dealey Plaza. Available at Amazon.com and major bookstores around the world. It's murder.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
You're ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, continuing my conversation with Scott Bennett and Michael Jay, now turning to domestic politics, where the big story of the day is that Donald Trump has overtaken Hillary Clinton in the popular polls across the nation. In fact, it's not merely a fluke. This is not just an outlier, but several polls have confirmed it, and Clear Politics has done a poll of polls and established that, in fact, Trump is leading Clinton, which has to have her veritably terrified. Just to add a couple more stories before I invite Scott and Michael Jay to comment. A fellow by the name of Matt Taibbi, who writes for Rolling Stone, has taken the pseudo-intellectual stance that Trump is doing great damage to the Republican Party, when a more accurate portrayal would be he's effected a hostile takeover on behalf of the people. He's representing the populist movement and the national interests of the United States for a change, as opposed to that of the corporate America, the big bankers and the military industrial complex. He's opposed to the wars in the Middle East. He wishes we could recover that $4 to $5 trillion and spend it on our own infrastructure, our own roads and our schools. He's also opposed to NAFTA and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And on these major issues, he's in alignment with Bernie Sanders, which is going to be a further source of headache for the Democrats, because here, as Robert Perry very discernibly observes, there's a conflict emerging between the anti-war wing represented by Bernie Sanders, who is just as emphatic in his denunciation of the war on terror as is Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton, who represents expanding the U.S. war in Syria while continuing wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and challenging Russia on its borders. It's become increasingly apparent that Hillary is a neocon representing, having worked on behalf of a neocon president, where others are in key positions and remain there. Victoria Nuland at the Department of State, Samantha Power at the United Nations, Ash Carter in defense, and even Susan Rice, National Security Advisor. Scott, it's taken me a long time to realize that Barack Obama was just as much a neocon as George W. Bush.
Yeah, he was. He was indeed. And Bush was mindless. Obama just continued his mindless policy. You know, people write, how do you propose to start a revolution? It really needs to start in their own communities, in their own backyards, and they have to go to their institutions in their communities and start these discussions and share these ideas. They got to copy a link like yours, Jim, in the YouTube channel and set up a computer in their church or their Republican club or whatever institutions or clubs or groups that they belong to in their hometown, or create a meetup and say, this is something we as Americans cannot afford to ignore. They need to go into their church, I think, personally, because those are supposed to be the remnants of political, conservative, family-oriented policy in America, about traditional marriage, about, traditional government in control, you know, government under control, not in control of people's lives. And the major step of that is rejecting the weak-handed, castrated, lukewarm churchianity occupants who just want to knit baby sweaters and be at peace with the world and not stir up anything. No, those are the cancers and the poisons and the fillers that we need to reject. Like Christ went into the temple and overthrew the temple tables, so people who listen to this show need to go into their churches and overthrow these weak-minded people who do not get engaged in politics, and also extend hands to those who may not have similar religious views but do have a patriotic impulse that says, you know, I don't believe necessarily what you do religiously, but I know something's wrong in this country and I want to fix it. And that you know, reaches over the pulpit lines. You can ally with Buddhists, you can ally with atheists, you can ally with Catholics or Protestants or Baptists, because as long as we're all firing in the same direction, that's all that matters.
Michael Jay, would you agree that the Democrats may have at least as big a problem coming together as the Republicans? In fact, there's signs now that the Republicans are rapidly unifying behind their candidate, but that the Democrats have a whole lot of issues to deal with.
Well, the Democrats have been devouring one another, and Hillary Clinton has been found out again and again in their underhanded tactics in destroying Bernie Sanders, or attempting to destroy him and fight his own, fight their own people. These people eat their own. They really do. But what Scott was saying is really important, that the American people need to understand that we have to tell ourselves the truth. Well, I've said before that we've gone in our lifetime from Leave It to Beaver to Beavis and Butthead. We've been psychologically neutered. We've been dumbed down. We've been betrayed. And it's been normalized in our life. And we've been turned over to a mindset that finds it reality. It's realities in the Simpsons, rather. We're needing to start looking for the evidence of, how do I build real community? Just me. How do I go to my neighbor and say, look, it, something terrible is going on. I'm looking for somebody who will stand next to me. And so you and I can go over to the city council or the county supervisors and say, what's going on? Why is our nation being destroyed? And what are you guys doing about it?
Very, very, very well said. Let me cover a couple more stories and invite your comments. Hillary's warning against treating Donald Trump as a normal candidate while she still has her hands full with Bernie Sanders, that Donald is making amends with various branches of the Republican Party. I do not myself believe he's going to compromise on his basic orientation, but he is historically a negotiator. He's the master of the art of the deal. And he knows that his positions, as he staked them out, basically have the character of proposals, because he has to gain the assent of the Congress in order to turn them into legislation. Obama is giving us what I regard as a very distorted, jaded view of the international community's response to Donald Trump. I recently did two interviews with a fellow in Paris who was asked to comment on the European perception of the campaign. And he made it very clear that Hillary is regarded virtually unanimously as a war criminal, and that Donald Trump appears to be more open-minded and flexible in his approach, having spoken positively of Vladimir Putin, for example, and in opposition to the endless wars in the Middle East, where I believe that Obama is simply perverting his role as President of the United States to promote his own very biased agenda, where he and George W. and Hillary have all aligned to promote the neocon agenda. Very, very sad, even tragic to say, because Obama was supported enthusiastically by so many with so much hope and optimism for change. Scott.
Well, you know, Obama was elected president out of white guilt. Let's not mince words. So many people were sickened by a Bush. They were tired of the wars. And they followed this fantasy that somehow they would magically elect a black president and turn the nation from this, you know, black and white film into a full colored Wizard of Oz land. I mean, the lunacy behind that is an insult to thinking, and it really is a disgusting demonstration of America's stupidity for anybody who voted for him. But I understand that they did so out of guilt. But they elected this guy, and actually the country's gotten worse, because suddenly, you know, we've kept Guantanamo, we've been bombing all these nations into oblivion, we've just liquidated Libya under Hillary Clinton's mad queen of hearts obsession to destroy, and the petrodollar was part of that, and the gold, and now we see ourselves trying to get up into Syria. We've consolidated Russia and China and Iran against us, and we're allying Europe against us because of what we're doing to Europe. We're tying Europe down to be raped by these savage Wahhabis, and Europe is about to throw us off and say, Russia, protect us from these maniac troglodytes called the United States. So I think, you know, Obama and the Americans and Hillary Clinton and even Bernie Sanders and even some of the neocons like Ted Cruz and others have followed this maniacy of America is going to rule the world. The world needs us for leaders, blah, blah, blah. Trump is the only one who says we're not about leading the world. We're about being examples for the best world leadership. There's a big difference when you demonstrate that you're concerned about your own people, your own country, your own affairs, and you're not going to get tied down into these endless wars or trying to cultivate the world into what you want it to be. When you avoid that, the world takes care of itself. And Putin has said that too. The Russians have very clearly said, we're the United States under Obama and under Hillary Clinton are about changing the world into what America thinks it should be. We're about stopping the world from turning into what we don't want it to be, what we fear it becoming. That's quite different.
Very nice. Michael J.
Thanks. Jim, I'm thinking that Donald Trump is in an amazing and strategic position to turn America around. And a lot of people have given up hope. But Donald Trump, I think the most important decision he can make right now is to find a man, not a woman for vice president, but find a man who is not part of the system, who is plainly a man that is in love with America. I think he should find a righteous former military officer. He should not allow anybody to force him to accept a vice president that comes from within this system. We need real change, and we need Donald Trump to lift up a standard and hold up a flag for real hope, not the counterfeit hope, but a real hope for America. And then Americans will give themselves to supporting Donald and change in America.
This I understand completely why you say that, but I think he needs a senator, someone who knows how the Congress works. My suggestion has been Rand Paul.
How about Senator Black? Senator Black sounds like a righteous man, and he's a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah, I don't know Black. That's interesting, but I'm glad to know of him because I think it has to be someone who comes from the Senate, who's principled, who doesn't believe in the war on terror, and who is a supporter of what Trump has outlined as his foreign policy by and large. So
Senator Black went over and visited Syria recently and met with Assad, and it was broadcast by journalists in Europe. I want to point out before Scott talks about Senator Black, who is a righteous man, I want to point out what you were talking about, Jim, and that is Vladimir Putin stood in the UN in front of the world leaders and said to America, do you realize what you have done?
I know.
Scott?
I know. It's ghastly. What we've done to the Middle East. Scott, yeah.
It is ghastly, Jim. It causes us pause. It causes us to lower our head in a sad, tearful shame for the blood and the agony that we've unleashed out of this neoconservative lunacy that suddenly we can transform the world. And Francis Fukuyama and all of these monkeys in Congress, from Bill Kristol to all of the neocon, atheistic crowd that have pursued that, they're all to blame. But you know what? We're to blame too, because we deserve the leadership that we've allowed to encroach, to we've allowed to take over our country. We now have a choice, and that's where leaders really are called to stand up and say, I'm looking for a few righteous men and women to lead the charge to roll back these pirates who've taken over our ship of state and get back to our American Reaganite, John F. Kennedy, whatever your most, affectionate memory of what American leadership is, get back to our own country and get out of this wild crusade to crush and dominate and mold the world. It has done nothing but wreck the entire Middle East, and it's not going to be tolerated anymore. It's not going to be tolerated by Russia. They went into Syria, and they proved that. And Europe, very soon, I think, is going to go into a civil war, and out of the ashes of that is going to spring a new crop, and they're not going to be friendly to the United States. We already see that. Every European nation looks at the United States and cocks its head and says, are you out of your mind? I mean, what country has these transgender bathroom discussions? I mean, that's just lunacy, and you're making it a national policy, and now you've got women in combat and homosexual marriage, and you're calling it, you know, calling black white and white black. We're soon becoming a laughingstock, and our whole military is starting to implode.
Let me cover a few more stories, and we'll continue our discussion. One is the claim is that Trump's true colors are emerging because he's looking for additional financial support, but running a national campaign is a whole lot different than running in the primaries. And while he's been self-financing until now, he needs support from others. And indeed, the situation with Hillary is really astonishing when you think how much luggage she has to tote around with us. Cattlegate, Whitewater, Vince Foster, Travelgate, IRS and FBI against him, posed with cocaine smuggler in front of the White House, on and on and on. It's absolutely shocking where we now have further emails and revelations about Hillary's culpability and atrocities in the Middle East. Sheldon Adelson, who's one of the great financiers, typically supporting Zionist candidates, has dedicated $100 million of his own money to support Donald Trump, which causes me pause, but we'll stop there momentarily to get the views of you and Michael J. Scott first.
Well, I think we're coming fast to a point where Americans are waking up and they're seeing the scum of humanity representing our political establishment and the political financiers, and they're divorcing themselves from them. And Donald Trump, you're exactly right, Jim. Donald Trump is going to be inclining himself towards the middle. He's going to be softening his language in order to influence the undecided electorate. And we understand that people vote at the last 2 weeks of the election. Those people decide who wins the election. So 2 weeks away from November 7th is when the candidate will be chosen. And he will be chosen on the lines of he's a nice man, he speaks well, he's attractive, and the other candidate is this angry, violent lesbian who hates men and is trying to turn the world into a angry, violent lesbian country that hates men and looking to turn the rest of the world into a violent, angry lesbian world that hates men. No one wants that. It's the definition of insanity and demonic perversion.
I had a very interesting comparison just today about their styles that Trump is obviously a natural leader. He takes strong stands. He's been very accomplished and successful. Hillary is far more passive, even passive aggressive, a very nasty person, but she doesn't inspire confidence. And this analyst believed that it would be resolved on that basis alone.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's what, you know, even Bush. I mean, I was in the Bush administration, and I saw myself surrounded by a bunch of limp-wristed weaklings and very few real conservatives, and none of the real conservatives at Heritage that I work with liked Bush. They looked at him and said, oh, my God, this guy isn't a conservative. So Hillary Clinton is even worse, and they both represented the establishment. Donald Trump represents someone who says, you know what, I have to lead. I have to serve. As Aristotle said, the best political leaders are those you have to drag out of the cave and say, you have to lead us. You have to help us. You have to be in charge of the country or else the whole country is going to be destroyed. Those are the people that you want for political jobs, not people who want it themselves for power or lust or women like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. But Donald Trump wants it because he loves his country for his children and his grandchildren's sake.
Michael J.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure if Donald is going to accept money from Adelson. The reality is that Adelson is not giving money to Donald Trump so that Donald could do what Donald Trump thinks he needs to do for America. This man is trying to purchase Donald Trump. This man is trying to also throw mud into the water and muddy the waters here, making people believe that Donald Trump is part of the system. I personally hope that that's not the case, but I think that the real issue here is every American needs to start communicating with Donald Trump and letting him know that they are really pulling for him to do what's right for America. and that they need to communicate as individuals. They need to let everybody know that they don't want a Trump that's beholden to anybody. And that's been part of his platform. He said he's got his own money. The issue is, right. I think real Americans can make a difference for Donald Trump, because I don't think that anybody who understands the moral fabric, the real moral fabric of America to try to preserve or actually restore America is going to vote for this female sociopath.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Donald can be bought, and Hillary is already paid for. It's unreal. Here's something revealing about Hillary. In a secret recording, she's declared that the Supreme Court was on the wrong track on the Second Amendment. She's appealed to many different sources to promote the undermine the Second Amendment and our right to weapons under the Constitution. Here's a particularly striking aspect. It turns out that one of the new proofs of chicanery, that the whole thing was a fraud, is that a man by the name of David Wheeler has been exposed as playing two roles at Sandy Hook, one that of a grieving father, the other that of a SWAT team member, where he was walking up and down Dickinson Drive in camouflage, carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine as a former series commander in the Marine Corps with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. This is absurd and reveals the man knew nothing about weapons. No one with the least knowledge would carry a weapon that way. He has a wife by the name of Francine, where they are both B-grade actors, and they were flown to the White House along with other of the so-called survivors, where Francine was given the opportunity to give an address to the nation on behalf of gun control, because she was, of course, had impeccable credentials, having lost a child at Sandy Hook. But it turns out that Francine not only was a scam artist here, but was the personal assistant to the Democratic National Committee Finance Chair, a woman by the name of Maureen White, which indicates to me that the DNC was more deeply involved in Sandy Hook, which we already knew involved Eric Holder and Barack Obama, than I had heretofore supposed. I find this a rather stunning development, Scott.
Well, no one can challenge your research and work into this area, Jim. I think you're unparalleled with Sandy Hook, with the Boston Marathon bombing, with the San Bernardino issue. The Sandy Hook is atrocious, and I mean really. You hang your hat on the strongest nail, and Sandy Hook is unparalleled in its deception. And Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, as you know well, has also commented and supported that research, which indicates the whole Sandy Hook was a scam. It was a fake school. It was a bunch of supposedly autistic kids. There was, you can see the video of this man walking around in numerous roles, handling a gun like he didn't know how to handle a gun. And it's absolutely obscene. And really, people need to be filing criminal legal actions against these people. Lawyers need to be standing up and earning their rank and their stripes to say, I know how to file a lawsuit, damn it. I'm going to go into federal court and file a lawsuit against these people for
Scott,
fraud.
Get this. Connecticut has a very odd legal arrangement. There is someone who's designated as the gatekeeper regarding any lawsuits that are brought against the state. It just happens to be that he is the son of Lieutenant Paul Vance, who played a key role at Sandy Hook in running the state police and threatening to prosecute anyone who came up with a report or at variance with the official narrative. So his own son is ensconced in the position to determine whether or not any lawsuits against the government of Connecticut can go forward.
We have to be coming against all of these people who are implicated in these actions, like Samson against the Philistine, and smashing them with the jawbone of an ass. We may not have the prettiest legal complaint. We may not have the most verbose or eloquent language constructed complaint, but it doesn't matter. If it's a jawbone of an ass, and it can smash through the helmets of these people, let God be in charge of delivering the blow.
I love it. Michael J.
Well, this is about a young shepherd boy This is about anybody who understands that the truth isn't something that you vote as to whether or not it's the truth. The truth is the truth. And people need to allow the truth to strengthen them. People need to allow the truth to allow them to develop some character in the face of looking around and finding most people are drinking the GMO Kool-Aid of convenient lies because they don't have a sense of what it really means to be an American and enjoy liberty. You know, what we're looking at is that the FEMA camps and the military exercises and the total surveillance system, all of this is an attack against America and against real liberty. And real Americans that have taken an oath, like all three of us, understand we've never and never will rescind our oath or put down our weapons psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, or even kinetically. We're never going to let go of our guns, ever.
Let me just read the last paragraph here, particularly relevant. As Memory Hole blog maintained by James Tracy, who lost his academic position at Florida Atlantic University because the university was unhappy that he was writing about Sandy Hook, observed in 2013, Sandy Hook parent and actor Francine Wheeler was previously employed as personal assistant to Chief Democratic National Committee fundraiser White. In fact, White was a DNC star campaigner raising $51 million in 2005 alone. She then served as senior advisor on humanitarian issues in Afghanistan and Pakistan under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Let me move forward with the next story. The New York Times is publishing something I find rather outrageous in support of Hillary's campaign against so-called gun violence with a whole story, you know, anecdotal evidence. But look at this. It's contradicted by statistical studies that show that gun violence has declined in the United States since the 1990s. If you compare 1993 to 2010, it dropped from 7 deaths per 100,000 in homicides by gun to less than half, 3.4. And we're non-fatal violent firearm crime victims, meaning victims of gunshots who did not die, dropped in the same interval of time from 725.3 to 174.8. I find the whole business of talking about an epidemic of gun violence completely absurd, inconsistent with the evidence, another piece of political chicanery. Scott.
Well, anyone with common sense knows that if a good man or woman with a gun on their hip or in their belt goes anywhere in this world, the world is a safer place because that good person is going to act as a force for peace and stability and safety. That person with a gun or with a knife, but a gun is preferable, can defend the weak, can defend the elderly, can defend women against the savage, demoniac barbarians that look to prey on the weak. So guns are our ability, as Michael J. said, a great article from a former Marine. Guns are a great equalizer. It deters violence. It deters savagery. And that's what gun ownership is all about, is having the protection so that we're not attacked. And that's where Americans need to rediscover their, you know, their warriorhood, their responsibility, and protect their loved ones. And guns are the ways to do it. Good people, if you have a pastor with a gun on his hip, he's not going to go into a 7-Eleven and rob it. A pastor with a gun on his hip is not going to go in and rape someone. You know, a school teacher with a gun on his hip is not going to go in and commit bank robbery.
Yes. And sheriffs are calling out against this unconstitutional gun control, where feds are the greatest threat we face. And get this from a guy who knew what he was talking about. When government takes away citizens' right to bear arms, it becomes a citizen's duty to take away the government's right to govern. George Washington. Michael J.
Isn't this amazing that the real heritage that we have are people who understood everybody's right to defend the liberty of others? There's never a right to do wrong, and there's never a right to deny other people a right to do right. We have a government that is not a legitimate government because they have failed in keeping their oath. We're looking at people wanting to use the Supreme Court that has been so suborned, so turned around, so made the enemy of a legitimate culture that made America great, that they want to use the Supreme Court to deny the Bill of Rights. This has been something incremental where they've, you know, taken away the Fourth Amendment rights. They want to take away the First Amendment rights. They want to destroy the Second Amendment, which is the linchpin to defend all the other rights. And Americans are waking up. Americans are waking up. And this is happening. Why? Because people are understanding that if we hold on to our integrity as individuals, then that is something that strengthens the people around us. But we can no longer be passive. We're looking at operation after operation in America that's been using the dialectic, creating these false battles between the right and the left, and wanting to create some kind of synthesis, to bring peace about, where the peace that they're trying to force on us is a peace that's actually taking away all our rights.
Let me cover a couple more stories and invite your comments additionally. Mussolini observed fascism could equally well be defined as corporatism, which is a merger of big business with big government. And I raise this because the claim is made that Donald Trump is a fascist. But the fact is that Donald Trump has opposed these endless wars. He's opposed the North American Fair Trade Agreement that has savaged, really destroyed our manufacturing and industrial base. He's opposed to the TPP, which would create a board of international attorneys that have the right to override the laws and statutes of any nation, up to and including the Constitution of the United States. So if Barack Obama has somehow managed not to mention that if the TPP is passed, the United States will no longer be a sovereign nation. Hillary, by contrast, has supported NAFTA and the WTO, introduced by her husband Bill, which has had devastating effects on the economy. She claims she no longer supports it, but in the past she described the TPP as the gold standard of trade agreement. As Secretary of State, she was the motivating force behind NATO's attack on Libya, which has turned that once idyllic society to chaos. And she has said at Dartmouth on July 3rd, that if she's president, we will attack Iran and we would totally obliterate them, which I find absolutely dumbfounding, because Iran is a peace-loving nation that has not attacked any other nation since 1775. Just to put that in perspective, the Constitution began its ratification in 1787. George Washington was inaugurated as our first president in 1789. So Hillary would obliterate the most peace-loving country the world, the modern world, has ever seen. I find that stunning. Scott?
Well, it'll be more stunning if the American Congress doesn't have real leaders stand up and instantly nip that in the bud by throwing the cold water of reason on it by saying, no, 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 no. No president in this country is going to commit us to another reckless decade of wars. And we are putting a legislation into the record that says the United States will not attack Iran, will not attack Russia, will not attack China through any means until it is, processed through the Congress and various filters and instruments. Whatever needs to be done to roll back this insanity of the authorization for military force that they passed and this Patriot Act draconian fascist bill that they passed in 2001, we need to have real leaders stand up in Congress and rein in these out of control horses. Now, to the other point of Donald Trump being a fascist, that's unnatural and impossible for Donald Trump to be a fascist, because he is a man who's gotten to where he is on the teamwork and the brilliance of the team around him. He's smart enough to realize he's not smart enough to make an empire, but he has to gather smart people around him and let them blossom, let them be themselves. Now, of course, he's a hub. He's an attractive element that people come around, but he doesn't manage people. He lets people manage their own talent, and he sort of benefits from it. That's what leaders do. That's what that entrepreneurs do. That's what captains of industry do. They don't try and run and control the world like these fascist imbeciles of Hillary Clinton, who's never created anything or never managed a business in her life. She's been a parasitic lawyer, as most of these politicians have. But Donald Trump has gotten to where he has because he has let people shine and let them be themselves. That's not what a fascist does. A fascist is someone who tries to micromanage everyone. And that's what happened in Russia and communism. That's what happens in socialism. That's what happened in Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. And that's totally against the human spirit. So Donald Trump is the opposite of a fascist.
Michael J.
I want to address a very serious problem, Jim. It's a spiritual issue, and that is there is a doctrine in America that has seduced millions and millions of American Christians into becoming what's called Christian Zionists. And these people are being manipulated by this system as to what it means to attack Iran to protect Israel, where Israel is one of the most terrorist nations on the face of the planet. And the reality is this, that Iran has been using wisdom. Iran has been calling Scott Bennett with their media and asking Scott what is really going on over here, because Scott's been in the position to understand real terror and terrorist financing and what's going on in our terrorist government. But the Christians need to understand they have been deceived. These are doctrines of demons that make them believe that if they bless and protect this sociopathic group that calls themselves God's chosen people, that they're going to get a blessing. Well, we've been trying to protect them since the late 40s, and this nation has gone into the toilet. Jim.
Yeah, it's simply outrageous, demonizing the wrong countries. Saddam Hussein with false claims of weapons of mass destruction. Libya with false claims of Gaddafi abusing the people. He was going to receive a humanitarian award from the United Nations a week later, demonizing Iran for a non-existent pursuit of nuclear weapons. It's outrageous. All the while, Israel has one of the great stockpiles of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons undeclared, and yet is the beneficiary of foreign aid from the United States, even though our guidelines specifically state that no nation that has undeclared weapons of mass destruction may be a recipient of American foreign aid. A couple more stories. I mean, this is just a contrast. Iran with the United States and Israel and the vast number of countries we've assaulted. And that's only since the end of, from World War II up to 2011. That's a tiny proportion of the nations that we have attacked and invaded. Then in Benghazi, I interviewed Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty, who were there at the time, about the slaughter of Benghazi. And it was a great atrocity. They brought in mercenaries who murdered people. They were paid to murder them, then paid to cut them up, then paid to burn them. Rape became a tool of war. It was grotesque. And they took a near idyllic society in which Gaddafi was sharing the wealth of Libya with the Libyan people, national health care, national public education, national warehouse. If anyone was hungry, they could go and get all the food they'd need. If you had a medical problem that couldn't be dealt with in Libya, you'd be flown anywhere in the world with a relative or friend, treatment, all expense paid by the government. He was introducing the Great Waterworks Project that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis, but also the gold dinar, which would have rapidly become the currency of all of Africa. And the Western banking powers were upset by that. And they, with Hillary Clinton's complicity, went about massacring a virtually idyllic society. Here we have a report about exactly what happened, that it had to do with the gold dinar. And where Seymour Hersh has discovered that Hillary also approved the sending of the sarin gas to the Syrian rebels in an effort to blame them for having gassed the people of Syria, in an effort to blame the Assad government for an action by the Syrian rebels. Hillary was even involved in that, and where newly obtained emails lead directly to the White House, where following the twisted Benghazi talking points, we're way beyond it now, and where the Inspector General of the Department of State has observed that Clinton emails had intel from the most secret classified program. She knew it. And here's a stunning illustration that of one of these emails revealing that the assault on Assad had nothing to do with his abusing the people of Syria, but to benefit Israel by taking out Assad, making the world safer for Israel, which, of course, was the motivation that lay behind the whole 9/11 attack and its reversal of American foreign policy from one in which, at least officially, we never attacked any nation that had not attacked us first, to one in which we, together with Israel, became the world's greatest aggressor nations. Scott.
Well, I was just going to point out, on September 11th, 2012, the day of Benghazi that you just showed, that was the same day that they paid Brad Birkenfeld $104 million. That wasn't coincidence. That was a concerted, coordinated effort. So Brad Birkenfeld was paid off $104 million. Benghazi occurred. The cover up of that, the illusion to pull away any media from writing about it is palpable. Of course, the congressional knowledge of this was known, because I wrote Bob Corker, I wrote McCain, I wrote Lindsey Graham, I wrote 100-150 congressmen and senators, and I've got the letters to establish that. And they all ignored it and did nothing. So that's another little piece of the puzzle that is documented. Why was Birkenfeld paid $104 million on the same day? Who else was paid? Where did this money come from? Where do all these money channels lead? They go right up into Syria. They go right into the ISIS operations that have been continuing with Turkey and the Saudis and the Israelis.
Michael J.
This is something where we're seeing all the lies being stripped away from these people, because these people actually must lie in order to bring about their agenda. What we're looking at is that there's an operation called Brexit, and this is a wonderful thing because the British people and the different parts of Britain are standing up, because they're realizing that the very thing they want to do in America with this hidden government that they've done already in Europe with the EU has become so out of control that their whole nation's infrastructure, their whole nation's economy has been destroyed and subjected to totally autonomous, unaccountable rulership and management by the EU, and the Brits are getting tired of it and saying, we are leaving the EU. And there's a lot of other people in the EU that are very, very unhappy. And this is because the truth is coming out. And I'm encouraged by this. And I want to say, this is an answer to prayer. This is about people saying, we don't want this New World Order bureaucracy destroying our cultures and our nations anymore.
Jim, I would just add real quick, when I was at Special Operations Command, when I was in the Booz Allen Hamilton ranks, I was at the RAND Corporation when the Syrian media people were coming over, and I walked away with, why in the world would we want to destabilize these people? Because there was already talk and already cables going around about Syria this, Syria that. But when they came over and were presenting themselves and were giving an honest testament to the freedom of the media in Syria, and the people were very, very decent and clean and kind and sophisticated, it was bizarre that we were even contemplating that. But yet right next door, we had all these other countries from Qatar and Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and everywhere. And you saw that they were planning the Arab Spring. They were actually planning the media structure, positioning, so that when the Arab Spring would happen 3 years later, that was the seeds. They were sowing the seeds of the Arab Spring in the RAND Corporation. And it's bizarre. It's very strange to reflect upon it now.
Well, I think that you're both right. Michael Jay is reflecting that the truth has been revealed. The emails that Bernie Sanders was so dismissive of are actually, I think, going to be the linchpin of the exposure of Hillary Clinton as a fraud and a deceit, but where she has a gatekeeper in the Attorney General who, get this, when she was at Harvard, she created a black sorority that had only one other member, who turns out to be the wife of former Attorney General Eric Holder, so that she has long ties back to Hillary Clinton. And it looks as though she's going to guard Hillary from any form of prosecution, even though Wayne Madsen, who may be our nation's leading investigative journalist, has revealed that her email network was part of a private foreign policy intelligence operation where we now know today, by the way, that the Russians discovered from tracking the attempts of a hacker to break into Russia Today files that he'd broken into Hillary's files. He's reported that while he was there, there were as many as 10 others in her files at the very same time. And now the Russians have been debating whether or not to release over 20,000 emails they have from Hillary Clinton's non-secure server. Scott.
Well, the Russians, of course, should do exactly that and overwhelm her with the tidal wave of truth. And Loretta Lynch also needs to hang for treason, because she was the one at the Department of Justice that gave UBS a 2% fine and non-prosecution agreements for all of the terrorist finance accounts that Brad Birkenfeld brought. Loretta Lynch was responsible for that, in concert with the Department of Treasury and the Department of Justice and Hillary Clinton at the Department of State. Loretta Lynch has her fingerprints in blood for the 2% fines and the non-prosecution and letting all of this terrorist finance money be squirreled away and disappear. And she helped put Brad Birkenfeld, the whistleblower, who brought it public, who tried to give it to the American people, and they threw him in prison. And there's where he met me. And he said, please take this and get it out. And I did. And the rest is history.
Michael J.
Thanks, Jim. Loretta Lynch, I call her Loretta Lynch Mob, wants to prosecute Americans who dare to speak the truth about the violent Muslim cultures that are already being generated in America surrounding the hundreds and hundreds of mosques that Saudi Arabia has paid to build into America so that America can be declared a Muslim nation, and all the Islamic Muslim people will then be justified in their religion to declare jihad against any American who will not submit to the Muslim faith. And Loretta Lynch Mob has said, if you speak against this, you will be charged with a hate crime. This woman needs to be put in prison for treason.
It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. A few more stories. John Kerry, at a commencement address at Northeastern University, talked about the graduates preparing themselves for a borderless world. Now, this appears to be what we can anticipate from the TPP, which, as I observe, creates a board of attorneys who have the right to override the laws and statutes of any of the 14 Pacific Rim nations, thereby subsumed, including the Constitution. It seems to create a North American Union parallel to the European Union, where there are no borders between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. I believe that Barack Obama, in some of his secret executive orders, has directed that the border between the United States and Mexico not be enforced. That is my belief. Meanwhile, we have Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon.com and recently bought the Washington Post, attacking Donald Trump, assigning 10 reporters to investigate. But it turns out that his offenses against women are at worst caddish remarks, inappropriate context, which have been rebutted by several of the women who were featured there. but where it's far more startling that Hillary has facilitated her husband's sexual abuse of other women, going after them to protect him from the consequences of his action, that experts have observed a casual use of emails as a far more serious violation of national security than the public appreciates, as we have reviewed. She's long stood with the neocons in the administration, appears to be far more hawkish than Trump, though not as bad as Cruz. Where Trump is taking aim at Clinton over her husband's infidelities, questioning even Warren, the senator, Hillary used to beat, kick, and abuse her own husband, Roger Stone has reported, and Roger knows where the bodies are buried. He's published a stunning book entitled The Clinton's War on Women that has revealed that, as Scott was implying, that Chelsea is actually not the offspring of Bill Clinton, but rather of Webster Humble, who was a senior partner at a law firm where Hillary was working when she became pregnant. There are a host of other issues involved here that are equally scandalous. Scott.
Well, Bill Clinton is a rapist. He's not just a philanderer. He's a rapist. We know that from all the women that he violently attacked and bit through their lower lips. And he's also, I mean, I remember in the 90s, there were talks of him being with men as well. He's a hermaphrodite in androgynous in both of his ways. Hillary Clinton, I remember Stu Webb, and I like Stu. He said there were people who were talking about Bill saying, Hillary's been with more women than I have.
Right, that's right.
She's a rabid, violent lesbian. Let's not
be... Actually, Bill was thrown out of Oxford for raping a fellow student, Michael J.
There isn't anything more disgusting than the Clinton family. And we remember their death list. Remember how many people died when they were in around them, when they were even in the governorship in Arkansas, and how people died around them, including Ron Brown with a 45 caliber bullet hole in the top of his head when they brought down that plane. We're looking at murderers here. And these are not people we want in the White House again. They should be in the big house, not in the White House.
Nice, nice comment. And of course, because we were knocked off the air, we're unable to cover all the rest of the stories we would have covered today. But I want to thank you both for the excellence of your comments. I think we've got some major issues on the table here. And a great deal for the rest of the world to contemplate, especially the American people who have to decide who they're going to support in the next election. Remember, Trump is opposed to NAFTA and the TPP, where the former gutted our manufacturing and industrial base, the latter would finish off. He's condemned the invasion of Iraq and the wars in the Middle East, which have cost us $4 to $5 and produce only chaos. He's proposed measures to bring immigration under control, including a temporary ban on Muslims and a better fence with Mexico. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal, thanking my special guests Scott Bennett and Michael J. for being here, and all of you for watching.
Hi, my name's Gary King, and I've assembled the most formidable JFK team on planet Earth. We've got Dr. James Fetzer, Larry Rivera, who is the number one researcher in the world today when it comes to new research, and we've got Don Fox, who's not afraid to look a little bit deeper than anyone else. So if you're interested in what happened to the 35th President of the United States, then I invite you to our show. It's called The New JFK Show. And it's on YouTube. Go to Gary King YouTube channel, and we've got over 90 shows archived for you there. So if you really want to know the truth, and knowing that over 9 out of 10 researchers are working the other side of the street in a sea of disinformation, I pledge to you the truth about JFK. Go to Gary King YouTube channel and find out your true history.